Deep in the farthest recesses of the most distant jungle lies a city. A city populated by the most mysterious, terrifying, and downright grotesque denizens ever seen by mortal eye. Here, in the darkened corners of this cavernous locale, sits an ordinary, average brick building with an innocuous, ordinary, average blinking neon sign which reads, On Air. It is here where each week, Seth Breedlove and Mark Matzke convene to discuss the greatest mysteries the world has ever known. Now, zip up your leather pants, slap on the clown paint, and don't forget to eat something light as we begin our journey through Monsteropolis.
This is Monsteropolis, a show about anomalies, legends, and monsters. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Seth Breedlove. This week's episode, Mark's gone, and I'm on my own. So I thought I'd call Adam Dugan. He's been on the show a handful of times, has been in the office a handful of times, and has just survived a tornado or two. There were multiple, weren't there?
I think so. I didn't know how bad it was until I looked at Twitter this morning. Mm. It was like 10 or 15 minutes from me where the big stuff was last night.
Yeah. Did they touch down? Were there tornadoes or was it?
Like we have a big, our big mall here in Chattanooga is called Hamilton Place Mall. It's like the main like hub and the busiest part of, it's outside the city, but it's kind of in a suburb, but it hit at the mall from what I understand, tore a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. We had tornadoes three touchdown here last week. I think it was Wednesday.
Yeah.
But we didn't get anything bad. I mean, it was midnight and we were hiding out in the basement, but we didn't get hit where we were, but apparently on like the south side of Wadsworth, it got hammered. And then my sister's town, which is out by, listeners would have, I was about to give a geographical location that no one's going to, it's out by Atwood Lake.
You turn right at the Speedway station.
You stop, you hang a right at the Dariette. No, they got hit. And apparently it was like a disaster, a literal like disaster area. They declared it a disaster area. So, and I told you through text, I think we're going to get slammed this year with tornadoes and ticks. I think the two big T's are coming for all of us.
Couple T's.
It's a family show, Adam.
I see T's.
Your dad listens. So I thought I'd have you on. I have no plan here for this either. So we might talk for 2 minutes and then just be like, I got to get off here. But that's me. So I don't have questions or anything. We haven't talked much lately because there's a
couple weeks ago, I had a good long talk about the end of the world. And I think that's the last big conversation we've had.
Yeah. Little fact for you. We are mid-April. And it was around this time last year that Adrian and I packed up and went to the International Cryptozoology Conference. And the big thing about that event was we were all pumped to get home afterward because we were going to start filming Momo like a week later.
Wow. That's been a year.
Yeah, so it's been a year since we shot Momo. Which is crazy. And it's also been, this has been like the longest period of time we have gone without you visiting.
Yeah.
Because it was January when you were up here.
And I was up there for less than 24 hours.
You were up here. Yeah. I don't think we even talked about that on the show. Adam drove up, got in on, I don't remember what night it was, like a Thursday maybe or something. Got in middle of the night. We woke up to find Tommy vomiting in his bed
uncontrollably.
And we didn't know what it was. We assumed it was a virus. And Adam was like, I got to get out of here because I don't want to get sick, which turned out to be a great idea because whatever Tommy had immediately passed to Adrian and I, like it was crazy. It was less than like a day or two later. And we had the exact same thing. But the weird thing about it was like a 12-hour virus. Like it was only, I mean, it was gone in 12 hours, more or less. But it was, yeah, that was unfun.
I was social distancing before it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I did feel bad though, because you drove all the way up.
No, it is like, I can't wait to get back up there though, because that's like the last memory was like me like waving by from afar, like, all right, guys, I hope everybody's okay.
I was here for like 10 hours.
I would rather come up there and have some good Mexican food and have some ice cream and like go out and look for Dog Man out there at Silver Creek, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather do that than come up and immediately leave.
Yeah. I mean, it's the coronavirus is throwing curveballs at my schedule for the year. Just cause we had big plans for the summer, especially because I've got the British Columbia trip for On the Trail of Bigfoot. And then I've got a couple special trips planned for On the Trail of Bigfoot. And there's a lot of different things happening now that are going to change some of that. Right. But nothing, I think it'll all shake out fine. I'm still doing the British Columbia thing, even if it means just driving up there and doing a road trip. Unless Canada's still shut down. I don't know how long, you don't know how long any of this is going to go and how much it'll affect stuff. So,
yeah, you really don't. It's weird. I think like mid-summer, mm-hmm. I would say that things may not be normal, but they're going to be normal enough where you can do what you need to do as far as filming. I mean, I would assume.
I just realized, I don't think I sent you the, did I send you the messages I got from Paul Bartholomew last night? He shot me a message and said, hey, happy Easter, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there's been some big changes out on A-Bear. This sucks. Because I love A-Bear Road. And it's like, it's so rural and it feels kind of Ohio-y in a way. So it feels very homey to me. I've always talked about it. Like A-Bear Road feels like home. Yeah, someone bought the land behind where the telephone pole was, and they built a house. So there's a house sitting. It's not directly where the telephone pole was, but it's in the sort of, it'd be to the, if you're looking at the pole, it'd be to the right of the pole behind it. So any shots of the pole are now going to include this. I mean, the pole's gone anyway. They also put up a sign, a no trespassing sign, so you can no longer park your car there and get out. I mean, I would anyway, but you can no longer park your car and get out and see where the pole was. And they built this house. So unfortunately, developing continues to hammer these locations. I might make that sort of an underlying theme of those episodes of On the Trail.
We've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we've talked about how it slowly but surely, whether it's the original sharers of these stories or the locations or whatever else, like they're slowly fading away.
Yeah.
You saw that in the Ouachitas with all the clear cutting and stuff like that. And you see it with things like this where industry is great. I mean, I'm all about it, but I mean, it does start to like close in on these things. And
it's unfortunate because stuff like cryptozoology, group or government organization one's gonna lobby for the preserving of these lands or areas, especially that have like a historical significance relating to like a Bigfoot sighting. That's a shame. Like they don't even have a marker out there or anything. You wouldn't even know you were. You wouldn't know where to go,
right?
Just because the telephone pole's gone. There's a friggin' sign up, and now there's another one of these stupid flipping houses sitting out there. So, I don't know. It reminds me of what's happening here in Medina County, where you've just got developing is happening all over it. And they build these houses that just, like, one on top of the next. I mean, if they see an empty patch of land, they buy it and they develop it.
Throw a house there.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too. Have you noticed that, like, I feel like, because I was just thinking about us going for, like, on the trail of UFOs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing, like, you know, there are markers there with Betty and Barney Hill. There are some landmarks there. And you do have groups. I mean, whether it's, like, whatever Tom DeLonge's group's name is or TTSA, whatever, you do have certain UFO kind of lobby groups, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see anything beyond that as far as other cryptids. And you know, I don't know what it's like.
I don't see anyone even in ufology that's, I know that there are locations that get like a historical marker or whatever,
right.
But I don't know who's doing that.
I wouldn't know either.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate because those events are important. I mean, obviously we've been saying this for a long time, but like those events are important to the area where they take place. Like it'd be great if someday there was a marker in like Minerva, that said that the former, you know, home of the Minerva monster gave some information about it or something. But I don't, you do that. You see a lot of that with like the Civil War. My parents were involved in the Civil War and historical books for a long time. And they would lobby to preserve land, you know, where historical events had happened. This sounds absurd. And I'm sure listeners are like, what? But, I think it'd be cool if like they could have done something to keep, to keep the telephone pole there, keep a friggin' house from being built right on top of what is a pretty important story to that area.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that in our little bubble, like those things seem so important, but the world as a whole, like,
couldn't care less.
They just don't care.
Mm.
You know, like, I don't know. It is sad though. Because how cool would it be? Well, I mean, you and STM and I've gotten to tag along on some stuff. I mean, I've essentially done this like cryptid road trips. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
To have designated areas as you travel to be able to stop and see, like, here's the marker. This is exactly where it happened. This is what happened here, or whatever. And you just don't get that because there's just no regard paid to it. It's just,
well, even if it was something more like what they do in Point Pleasant, where there's just a statue in the middle of town. I don't expect a statue, but a marker or something.
Just a nod.
Yeah, something to. And Whitehall's interesting too because there's so many different events that happen around the area beyond just the A-Bear incident. You know, there's like a UFO landing that took place in some lady's front yard. There's multiple sightings up and down A-Bear and on the road that ran behind A-Bear Road. I'm really excited to get back there this summer. I'm hoping we're going to drag you along with us.
Yeah, I'm going to go whenever we know when.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the big highlights for me for filming this year, because I want to get back up to those mountains around Wells. That is, dude, isolation like you've never felt, like beyond X. This is something else entirely. It's a really weird sensation being in an area like that. Because in X, we still had. I remember I could send texts on occasion out.
You could because you had a different cell phone provider than I did.
Yeah,
I could, but you could.
Yeah, but you still at least felt some connection to the outside world. In Wells, there's no cell phone service anywhere. And we were like, you know, because that's kind of like central Adirondacks. You're in the middle of it. You're in the middle of the forest. And you drive up into these mountains and I would go 15, 16 hours with no cell service while we were in there, you know, until we got closer to Whitehall or closer to the outskirts of the park. But it's crazy when you go up there, especially at night on those mountain roads. Some of those mountain roads are in Beast of Whitehall really quick. You wouldn't know that's what they are, because I think typically we're talking about like Whitehall, and this is something else entirely. You're going up these like dirt gravel roads, up these massive mountains, like way up these mountains, and you get up there and there's campsites all along. And that's what I want to do, is I want to go up there and just find a camp spot. Yeah. And like, we're going to stay out there for like a night, maybe two nights. See what happens. Hike during the day. Yeah, hike.
Siding's like up there now. Are there still? I mean, are there?
Yeah. And in fact, last time I had talked to Paul, stuff had been happening more recently. And in fact, he had said, and I could even find this right now, probably. He had said there was activity around Hebert. He actually just said, oh, here. I don't know if you can see that. That's the house.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the house on for listeners. I'm showing him, and that's the no trespassing sign.
Perfect.
Yeah. Last time he'd hit me up, which was like back in September of last year, he said things were active there, including Hebert Road. Let's see. This is one of the last things he sent me. Oh, June of last year, actually. Now for some good news. I witnessed sighting of 5 to 6 foot tall bipedal creature in East Whitehall location last week. Received the report and met with witness at the site. The man was walking his dog. 7-8 p.m. when the creature stood up from where it was apparently resting and calmly walked away from him. At the site were clear imprints, but no detail. Not very accommodating terrain. The best imprints measured 12 inches by 5 and were 2 feet apart. While not detailed, it seemed to verify something walking away. Eyewitness was between 30 to 40 feet away. He added that the creature had a conical shaped head. So there's stuff going on anyway.
It's always interesting to hear places that have just continued sightings and reports long after kind of their most famous incident.
It hasn't stopped for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Up in that area. It's weird, man. It's like I don't know what to compare it though. Cause like we've been to the Wachtas. We've been to, you know, Chestnut Ridge and the White Mountains.
Yeah.
And this isn't comparable to me anyway. It's just not comparable to any of those. It's got a little bit of the Wachtas in it, maybe.
Yeah.
But just, there's just something very like you just feel isolated from everything there.
Well, we saw the Adirondacks, right?
And yeah, that's right. On the drive back.
It was gorgeous, but it's just like massive, looming.
Yeah. And we were seeing them at such a distance too.
Yeah.
Like once you get into Wells, that area around Wells, central Adirondacks where you have driven basically 3 hours into the middle of the Adirondacks and you're 3 hours from anywhere. That's when it really hits. Yeah.
We're here now.
Yeah, we're here. And I just think that'd be so cool. And if we can get Brandon back out there, it'd be kind of a cool full circle thing for Brandon and I to go back 5 years after.
Oh yeah.
We shot Beast of Whitehall and all that stuff. So we'll try to get that going in the next couple of months. That's the plan anyway.
Because originally we were planning for like potentially late April, right? Wasn't that idea floated late April, early May or something?
I think we wanted May because it was May or June, I thought, because we wanted to camp.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
I don't think that'll happen now because I got to get Mothman Legacy shot. And I still have to figure out when we're getting into Bell still. This is what I'm talking about. Like you're just right now, everything's up in the air. As soon as they start talking, lifting restrictions, I'm probably going to rush to get stuff done because for me, it's going to be getting it done as quick as possible in case there's another uptick in cases and they shut it all down again.
They're going to try to do their year's worth of work in 3 months before we all get the, we all get forced against our will back inside.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited for On the Trail of, cause I think it's going to end up being like the most personal thing I've ever done. There's going to be some stuff relating back to the coronavirus and how I feel about being locked away like I am right now and how that makes me feel and how it relates back to Bigfoot and maybe one of the reasons why I like this stuff is because it does like connect me back to nature in a way. You've been hiking a lot, right?
Oh yeah.
Are you looking for Bigfoot out there? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, that's all. That's what it is.
You do a lot of tree knocking out there.
I've been trying doing some whoops, some tree knocking, that kind of stuff. No, it really, what you just said, like I totally feel that. It is amazing when that I'm lucky where I am now that I'm on essentially like 30 acres mm-hmm. and it's some's wooded and some a little bit of fields and whatever else. And my dad has some hunting property that like is 600-700 acres or whatever. And it is interesting when you get back out there after having been stuck inside and you feel like the walls are closing in, you get out there and I felt it the same way on the trail of shoots and things like that. You're just out.
Yeah.
You just feel like you're exploring. And I think as like human beings, we have this innate like desire to explore, to like venture. And this whole virus thing has really like hit, I think, a lot of people, especially people like yourself and myself and the people that like I think we kind of associate with. It's like it's really pushed back against some very like core beliefs and
it goes against everything we are raised to believe about ourselves and
right.
and how we can function and how, you know, it I know exactly what you mean. Like it just,
yeah.
it's like someone attempting to brainwash you or hardwire
yeah.
you
yeah.
in a way that goes counter to how we've always thought we were
yeah.
permitted to function or how we might need to, there might be a need in us to function that way. Like
yeah,
we've been going out, we take Tommy and go walk out, yeah. out in parks or whatever, at least once a week.
Yeah.
But I do find the second I get out in those areas, especially like Mohican and like some of these spots we've gone, you just feel better.
You do feel better.
Like, I don't know how to, I know people are really scared about coronavirus right now. And a lot of it is because there's so much, conflicting information and stuff out there about how you can contract the virus. And it seems like every week, you know, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, we were being told, don't worry about the masks. And now everyone's like, put the mask on. But just like, I see people on my timeline freaking out about people, the fact that parks and state parks and county parks are remaining open in Ohio.
Right.
And they seem to be overlooking the positives in those situations probably far outweigh the negatives. At least yeah. just in terms of keeping people sane.
Right.
And I think there's an importance to that. If you're listening to the show and you have not yet traveled out to a state or county park, and I think it's worth doing, even if you don't get out of the car.
Oh, yeah. Right. And there's something to like going outside and being reminded, like birds are still chirping
mm-hmm.
and there are still like, there are still like bugs that you got to swat off of you and whatever yeah. else. Like, you know what I mean? Like the world is still spinning. It's still going. It's obviously an unprecedented time and it's not enjoyable for anybody or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think there's a danger in locking yourself in your cave and forgetting that.
Completely. Locking yourself.
That there are things that are still happening around you,
mm-hmm.
and you go down lots of rabbit holes there, media and so on and so forth. But
so I mean, I just think some of this is going to play a part in Bigfoot, because I felt it's funny because I don't know how it directly relates to Bigfoot, but it does. Like I was mm-hmm. watching something the other day. I can't remember what I was watching the other day, and it immediately made me think of this situation and how I there's a need in me to be traveling and
right.
exploring and doing what yep. I do, that doing what we do makes it becomes such a big part of who you are as a person. Yeah. Yep. So like for me, doing what I do is filming stuff and like travel and
yeah.
you know all that, and so having that taken away,
I mean, like you think about how you would describe yourself if somebody asked you about Seth Breedlove.
Mm.
You know, you would say you're a husband, you would say you're a father, or whatever, but then you would say you're a filmmaker
pizza.
And that you explore really like and that you do this, and you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's very much like part of it. It really does define a lot of people, and it's hard when you lose that.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to. Yeah, there will be As long as we can pull it off, there would be, in my mind, that would be a very therapeutic thing to go back to a place like Whitehall that was so important to the early days of STM before all this craziness. Because we don't know that the world will ever get back to, I don't think it will go back to the way it was before. Not exactly.
No, I don't think so either. I think that just like my dad and I were talking about this, like 9/11 fundamentally changed how our country operated. And at the time, those changes were just like unimaginable, the things, like, you know, you would think about doing things that normally you wouldn't think about doing. And it's going to be the same. It's going to be the same with this. And, you know, in 5-10 years or whatever, we're going to look back and be like, can you believe that we ever, like, I don't know that we ever sat in restaurants with 200 people in them at the same time. Like, can you imagine what that was like or whatever? And it'll become normal or more normal anyway. But I think it is fundamentally changed how we view the world, you know, as a whole. I don't know.
I'm looking forward to it, to filming. And if I could get you back out there, I wanted to put a plug in the show for your website, which is searchthewoods.com. So I was like, man, I'm going to go check it out, cause I'm sure he's got a lot of really cool content, he's posted. So got on here and I looked and I said, January 15th, 2019, most recent post, The Wachtaw's Secret Part 1.
Yeah, I need that. That part 2 probably needs to come out sometime soon. In fact, I wrote that while I was sitting in your office.
Yeah, I think I remember that. You sat on the floor, if I remember.
Yeah, I was sitting on the floor and I was typing that out. I was like, that's pretty good. I'll do the next one next week.
This is a really cool article, although. I want to tell if listeners don't know about Adam's site, it's searchthewoods.com. It's sort of a level-headed, slightly skeptical approach to the Bigfoot topic. Also for listeners, Adam is Edgar Harrison in Momo. He appeared in On the Trail of Bigfoot. He's appeared in a number of STM projects. He's in On the Trail of UFOs, especially episode 7 where he gets to talk. We never did shoot your interview, so you didn't show up as a talking head like you were supposed to. But Adam's been involved in STM now for a little over a year, which seems insane because it feels like it's been years, like a decade or something you've been involved.
Yeah, it's been, let's see.
December.
We
shot Bigfoot. I forgot.
Yeah, okay. We shot Bigfoot. So it's been like 2 years, but it was like because when were we in the Wachtaws in 2018?
It was June 2018, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2018.
So that was my first time like on anything STM, and that was just you and I, obviously with Brian and Kathy and Bob and Daryl.
Well, this article is cool because it's your perspective on the events that took place in Area X with the North American Wood Ape Conservancy, and it starts literally with me asking you to go.
Yeah.
Hey man, would you want to go with me to X this summer? And then you kind of go through. It's a really in-depth look at that event, and I highly recommend people check this out. It's a cool little.
I'm going to do the second part because I know where I ended that, and I know there's a lot more to talk about and whatever that. And I think we've talked about it before, but you know, I went into that whole event thinking I was hopeful but skeptical, mm-hmm. you know, and then coming out of there. A lot of things changed.
Yeah.
A lot of things changed.
Who you were.
It's something that I think about often and one day to get back out there, you know?
Yeah. I don't think a day goes by where I don't think about it. And the event. It's funny too, cause I can't do interviews without talking about it. Cause everyone wants to ask you like, have you ever had anything weird happen to you? And then I've never had anything to say in response to that until that event. So now that's become the story I have to tell on podcasts.
It's weird. It's weird after like thinking back about like all of the, I mean, I've talked about this before. I was a fan of Sasquatch. Like I was like before we became buddies and I listened to like all the Bigfoot podcasts and had listened to everything. I always heard these people with Bigfoot encounters. Like, that's so cool. How wild would it be to have some sort of encounter? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I felt, it's just a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking, I was like, oh, like somebody could ask me, I could go on one of those shows and I could say, hey, here's what happened to me. It's like, oh wow, I had like what I think is a Bigfoot encounter.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, whatever Bigfoot is, I encountered something unusual. It's so that's really, it's really cool. It's interesting to reflect on.
Yeah. And I always talk about the thing that happened or the thing that changed for me was evident in the conversations we had on the drive from, if you looked at the conversations we had on the drive to X and then the conversations we had on the drive from X to Nashville, where I was taking you, we had like these in-depth conversations about like how family groups might function and all the behavioral stuff, the type of stuff that I don't think a lot of people that are just sort of tangentially interested in Bigfoot might actually have. Like, I don't think that they're the conversations. Now it's conversations though that people that are really into this might
they have it all day, every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was the big change for us, I think, was that, like how we went from talking about Bigfoot one day to 2 days later talking about it in a completely different way.
And
also just it's funny because I'm not emotionally connected to X like I am emotionally connected to Whitehall or emotionally connected to Minerva or Point Pleasant. But so when I think about X, it's not like longing. I'm not longing to go back there and nearly die of heat exhaustion every minute of every day. I
mean, to be totally honest, it's not the most comfortable place in the world to be.
No.
As far as conditions go.
No. So there's nothing emotional connecting me to it, but there is a desire, a constant desire to go back there.
Yeah.
To experience more. Like I want to see something.
Yeah.
And that's the frustrating part for me is like that we just heard something.
Yeah. So
when I go to a place like Minerva or Whitehall, even as isolated and all that as it is, there's no, for some reason I can just kind of like, I accept almost immediately that I'm not going to experience anything.
Right.
Yeah. Cause you're in these places where things are so spread out and I don't know. There's just something about it. I accept that I'm not going to experience anything while I'm there. But but in X, I think it's different now. Like, I think if I went back into X, I'd probably be like, all right, what's going to happen?
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. I think when we, speaking of the drive-in, like, I don't really think either one of us, we were hopeful, but we weren't expecting. We weren't expecting much of anything. You know, we were there, 3 days?
It wasn't, no, it was a day and a half, really.
Day and a half, and then two nights sleep.
Yeah.
I guess.
2 nights, yeah.
Yeah, but you get in there, and you hear the people there talk about what they've experienced. You know, your radar kind of, like, becomes a bit more sensitive, and you're kind of expecting it a bit more. And then you have your own, like, little kind of, like, hit-and-miss things that were interesting, and we've talked about those with tree knocks and weird smells. Yeah, and then... And then you're kind of like, all right, cool, well, this is good. And we'd even talked, like, if that had been it on the trip, we would have said, all right, well, that was productive.
Yeah.
Like, that was an interesting enough trip. And then when that happened there at the end, my idea about the whole subject, I think, changed. And you're right. I think going back into X, I would, you know, whether, you know, good or bad, I would expect something to happen. I would be disappointed if it didn't. And from what I understand, like, listening to the NAWAC's podcast and hearing those guys talk, like, we experienced something there that's fairly rare. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times they go in there and they leave and there's, you know, and nothing necessarily happens of note. So I don't know, but this supposedly pretty active this year. I mean, like, neither one of us, I don't think either one of us have any inside baseball, but I've heard mm-hmm. it was or maybe this last year, this last summer was really active. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to hit up someone and ask them what's going on. I would like to get back in there for a future on the Trail of Bigfoot. I don't think it would fit for what I'm trying to do with this new season. I want this new season to almost harken back to our movies. I actually see it as like two parts, and the first part is like BC. And then the second part is sort of a return to a few important locations from STM movies. Is what I'm planning on doing with it. And obviously the Adirondacks are going to fit into that.
Pretty, yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. The On the Trail of stuff, I think, is so unique. whether it's UFOs or Bigfoot or whatever, it's so different. It's, I mean, even having like been involved with Momo and then involved with the two on the Trail of so far, like those projects are very different from one another. And I would assume I haven't been involved in like a, Whitehall or a Minerva or anything like that, but I would assume that they're very different than on the Trail of, and obviously Momo, cause Momo is a bit of an outlier, I think, but like, I think that it's on the Trail of, on the trail of thing is just really cool because it is very raw and it is a very personal kind of thing.
Yeah. On the Trail of Bigfoot, especially, I mean, on the Trail of UFOs is different too, cause it's so much about the phenomenon that it isn't quite as personal as on the trail. I think on the Trail of Bigfoot season two is going to be very different from one as well. I think it's going to be the same, but I think it's going to build off of what I did with one and then take it in a slightly different direction.
Right.
Even formatting wise, cause I don't think we're going to release it episodically. I think we'd been talking about it as a 6-episode miniseries again. I think I'm just going to cut it into 2 movies and have it be a 2-part.
That's cool.
Yeah, because of the way I'm thinking of how that BC section and the other section is going to go, I just think that's probably our best bet at this point for release. It's hard to know, too, because like from a filmmaking standpoint and distribution standpoint, it's harder to distribute independent episodic content, which we're seeing with On the Trail of UFOs, which is doing fairly well, but it's not comparing to how On the Trail of Bigfoot did when it first came out. Of course, we released it during the middle of a pandemic. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's some extenuating circumstances that might affect how each one of those performed differently.
Yeah, but there's also supposed to be On the Trail of the Lake Michigan Mothman, which was supposed to be shot. It was supposed to be done. This was supposed to be my editing time for that. So that's been pushed. I'm not sure yet when I'm shooting that. I've been trying to like prepare Adrian for the fact that once everything lifts, that there's going to be a good chunk of time where I'm just traveling a lot, getting this stuff shot. Yeah.
You have to make up for some lost time.
Yeah.
For sure. Everybody will, though.
So. Yeah, I think everyone's in the same boat this time around as far as things go. Once it lifts, everyone's going to have their own objectives, things they're doing. We have a vacation planned with Adrian's with my in-laws that we're supposed to be going on too, which I can't wait for because we're heading back to Tybee Island.
There you go.
Which I love.
Yeah, I think that we're... I'm hoping that we're at the end of at least whatever they want to call it, the first wave.
Man, the first wave. Isn't there an alien invasion movie called The First Wave?
I believe that there is.
Okay.
It sounds familiar.
This is how you know that we have reached the end of the show when I start talking about obscure alien invasion movies. If you want to leave us a rating and review. Hey, Adam, thanks for coming on with me. And just kind of
nice. It's break the monotony here.
Yeah, thanks for saying yes. On the monsteropolismail@gmail.com, we want emails. Send us emails. Leave a rating review on iTunes. And if you're listening to this on Tuesday, let's see, what is the date? Tuesday the 14th, which is when this should post in the morning. Tonight, Tuesday night the 14th at 8:30, Mark and I are live interviewing Alexander Petikoff. So if you want to tune in and ask Alexander questions, you can on the Facebook page for Monsteropolis. That does it for now.
Monsteropolis is proudly presented on Wadsworth Community Radio 97.1 FM or streaming live at wadsworthcommunityradio.com and is proudly underwritten by Thurber's Jewelers on the Square in downtown Wadsworth.